preaching first. But Brother Larry Chris told me he was going to be coming through town, so I asked him to preach for us tonight. And I want to take the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about my encouragement, and I hope it will be yours, the things God's doing. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. This chapter begins with a word from God by his prophet, speaking to God's elect among the Gentiles, speaking to us, the church of this gospel age, his church universally. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. That is, we are to sing in faith, believing God's promise that he will save his elect, and he will call out his elect from the four corners of the earth as we proclaim the gospel of his free grace. Yesterday I read a sermon by Mr. Spurgeon from Psalm 2, verses 8 and 9, Brother Emmett O'Donnell sent out a brief portion of it and asked that we give consideration to this. Spurgeon suggested that we who are one with Christ should pray with our Savior as he is commanded to pray. The Lord God said to him, our covenant surety, ask of me and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And I thought, what a statement. We are one with Christ. Let us urge the Redeemer's prayer that God would give him the heathen for his inheritance. And he has promised that he will. He will save his elect. He will do it by the preaching of the gospel. And he's committed to us this treasure of his grace in earthen vessels that we may carry the light of the gospel and using this as our singular weapon, assault the very gates of hell in this world for the calling out of his elect. And then the Lord makes this command to us. Here is our work and God's promise. Enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. That is, make this house bigger. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. What a promise from our God. He says, you stretch out your stakes. You enlarge your house. I promise you, your seed shall increase continually. The seed of the church is the seed of Christ. God's elect, he's going to call them out at his appointed time. Each one shall be born again. God, for some reason, in his wise providence, a reason not in any way to be attributed to this assembly, God, for some reason, has given us in our labors together these 35 years a voice of influence in his church and kingdom. He's allowed us the privilege of being instrumental in establishing three gospel churches that are vibrant, and we're thankful. He's given us the privilege of supporting faithful missionaries, the Groovers in Mexico and the Hellers in New Guinea, Brother Dan Parks down St. Croix, and pastors in the United States who need help. We try to assist them as we're able to in other churches. And we're very, very honored and privileged of God to do so. You send me every year to various places in this country and in others. And, you know, I just came back from England and Ireland. The church in Ballymoney started meeting together regularly. Three families, I think, meeting together every Sunday afternoon at 2:30. Very same time we meet here on Sunday mornings. They're meeting over there and meeting in a nice place in Orange Hall. Watch our videos. I go preach to them a couple of times a year. And I keep praying that God will raise them up a pastor and establish a gospel church there. And you join me in that prayer. They faithfully give themselves to the work. Those folks in Wasilla, Brother Terry and Diane Water, and folks meet with them, just have been meeting together for many, many years and doing the very same thing. Hopefully, if Brother Minnie is able to make the transition that he's planning on to Montana, pastor the church there, he can have nearer access to the folks at Wasilla so they can have people up more regularly. I suggested that they have Brother Dan Parks while he's here, and he's going up in the next few weeks. So you be in prayer for those congregations. And then 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, I'm not sure which, I suggested to Brother Peter Minnie, who is the editor of New Focus magazine, as you know, pastors a small group in Eglinton, England, and is also the one who has New Go Publications, publishing my books and those of George Ellen and a few others. I suggested that he might want to consider having a New Focus conference meeting that would encourage pastors and churches in Great Britain to get together, just like we have our conference here. And we started out meeting. A few folks came to the first meeting. This past meeting, we had, I'm going to guess, about 90 people at all three sessions. And I say all three sessions. The Saturday session lasts all day long. We met about 2 o'clock and didn't get back till about 11 o'clock. But we had a good number of folks from various parts of Great Britain, and I was greatly encouraged by it. Had a couple of pastors to come who hadn't been there before. I met a young pastor from the south of London. I say young man, he's 38 years old. That's not so young, but he looks a lot younger than that. But he's been following the preaching here and studying, and he's been taking his lumps for it and the direction he's moving. So I pray that God is giving him direction as well in the preaching of the gospel of his free grace. And then while I was in Ballymoney, when Father Shelby and I were there, we had the privilege of meeting again a man by the name of Mervyn McCabe. Back, this has been a long time ago. There was a man in, I think he lived in London, he was in England, who got all of our tapes for years. And he had a tape lending library, and he sent my tape, Brother Mayhem, Farrell Griswold, and a few others to folks on a lending library type thing. And then he eventually turned it over to somebody in Ireland. It turned out to be Mervyn McCabe. And Brother McCabe knew Russell Smith, who was at that time working with the Royal Ulster Constabulary, and had been religious all his life but didn't know God. And Russell would listen to a little bit of a tape and roll down his window and throw it away. And Mervyn gave him another one. He'd listen to a little bit, roll down his window, and throw it away. And after going through a bunch of them, one of them got his attention, and God got him. And Russell is the one who's been instrumental in getting the work in Ballymoney started. Well, Brother McCabe and his wife were at the first meeting in Ballymoney the other night, and he informed me, as I told you Sunday morning, he's now has a large book distribution, and he had just sent 400 copies of the Discovering Christ commentaries, Ruth and Song of Solomon, to Africa, to Burma, and sent 31 crates or pallets of the Discovering Christ commentaries to South Africa. So God continues to open doors of utterance for the gospel literally around the world. And I ask you to pray that God will make us faithful, make me faithful, and make you faithful in giving ourselves to this work in the preaching of the gospel of God's grace. Two things have been very instrumental in this outreach. Two things I look at, I see, have been very instrumental. For 35 years, we've been putting out the bulletin, writing at least a couple of articles every week, written somewhere between 3,500 and 4,000 articles in a period of time, put it together in booklets. Some of us used to get together downstairs and do it manually, and you smile, she was always there. And there's a lot of work. And then we were able to start having it printed and distributed, and people hang on to it and use it a lot. And so many open doors have come around the world through that seemingly insignificant effort. I encourage preachers, just from sitting right here when he first started at Silicon Valley, I said, write articles. You write them. I get bulletins all the time. This is all right. I'm not belittling this, but I have read the articles many, many times, most of the time by the time they get to my desk, because it's just circulated a lot. But people we minister to want to read and hear that which God's given us for them. And I'll guarantee you, as long as I've been associated with folks at Sylacauga, if they pick up a bulletin, they see an article by Larry and an article by me, and they won't only know him a little while, just know him a little while, I'll guarantee you they're going to read what he has to say if they don't read what I have to say. He's their pastor. They know him. And I encourage preachers to use the gifts God's given them and don't neglect the responsibility. Give themselves to the work. God honors that which honors him, and God honors those who honor him. And then several years ago, we were able to start this Free Grace radio ministry and the internet ministry, and God has so greatly blessed it, so many, many doors open for the furtherance of the gospel. Now watch his promise. It goes on in verse 4. Our responsibility is to enlarge the place of our tents. Never be content. Never be content seeking the salvation of God's elect. And God says, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. The reproach of a people who didn't know God. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. He who is our Creator is married to us. He who is the King of the universe, the God of glory, is our Redeemer. That text speaks of particular effectual redemption, particular distinguishing grace, particular effectual love. The Lord God made us for himself, married himself to us, married us to him, redeemed us by the precious blood of his darling son, and he who is the God of the whole earth, he's the Holy One of this people, Israel, his elect. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, called thee as a woman forsaken, abandoned, grieved, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, when no one would have you, God called you, saith thy God. And then he speaks of why it was that he had left his elect among the Gentiles for so long. Why it is that his people, some are called at one time, some at another, some in youth, some in adulthood, some when they're old. I've had the privilege of baptizing several people in their 80s and 90s. God called them just before they left this world. And I had the privilege of baptizing them and watching them walk with our Redeemer in the blessed faith of Christ, God giving them faith in him for a good while before they left here. But God calls his elect at an appointed time. Well, why does he leave them for so long to themselves? Read what it says. For a small moment I have forsaken them. For a small moment. It appears that he's abandoned his people. It appears that he has nothing to do with us. But with great mercies will I gather thee. There are some who are yet sitting here, perhaps, who feel yourselves abandoned of God, under the wrath of God, and rightly so, for you have no faith in our Redeemer. But there's a day coming. If you're his, God's going to get you. With great mercies, he'll gather you. He said, in a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment, for a moment. What is 10 years or 20 years or 50 years or 80 years in comparison with eternity? But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this, now he talks about his covenant. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor forsake thee. God's anger, God's wrath against ungodliness is stamped upon the conscience of all human beings by nature, so that every man and woman has a consciousness that is under the wrath of God and deserves God's wrath. But there never was a time when God was angry with us. Never was a time when God had turned his back upon us, though he deliberately appears to be so, that we may be compelled by his grace to seek it. And watch what he says in verse 10. For as the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Who's he talking to? This barren one, this forsaken one, his elect, called from among the nations of the earth. Look at verse 11. Here God says the salvation of this people, whom he's married to himself, is certain. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of a gates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father, the Savior says, cometh unto me, and great shall be the peace of thy children. This is God's promise concerning his elect who have not yet known the comfort of his grace. Verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. I will establish you in my grace in righteousness. Thou shalt be far from oppression. That is, nothing going to hurt you. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. And then he promises the sure triumph of his church. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Whosoever opposes you is going to fall by my hand for your sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. God says the destruction, the judgment that comes upon men, that's by my decree, by my hand. And then it says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Oh, what a blessed, blessed, blessed word from God. What encouragement for us to give ourselves relentlessly to the work God's given us. Some of you here have reached the time when your bodies are weak, your hair's gray, and you may tend to think, well, I've done my part now. I'll let the young folks take over. Don't ever be so foolish. Merle hard until God takes your breath from you. He has a work for you to do for his glory, for me and for his people, for the saving of his church. Whatever it is, give yourself to it. As you did in your youth, give yourself to it. Worshiping and serving the Redeemer. You folks visiting with us, Lexington, Tom, And Gina, I say to you what I say to Don, give yourselves relentlessly to this. What a privilege. What a privilege. God's given us the treasure of His grace. Let us carry it into the corners of the earth with all the anticipation promised us right here. He's going to call out His elect. No weapon formed against us will prosper. No gate from hell can stand before us. And all who would gather against us shall fall before us, because God's promised it and God will do it. And among those who fall will be multitudes who will fall in repentance and faith, trusting our Redeemer, saved by His almighty grace. Our God, to Your word, to Your promises, from the depths of our hearts we say amen. And we ask, as You've commanded Your Savior, our Savior, Your servant, Your Son, our surety, to ask, and You'd give the heathen for his inheritance. He has asked, and now we ask, our Father, that in our day You will give the heathen for an inheritance to Your Son, for the glory of His name. Bless us now as we sing Your praise. Bless Your word to our hearts. And I ask for Your blessings upon Brother Larry as he comes to preach the gospel to us. Thank You for him. Thank You for him. Thank You for the privilege of serving You with him. And we thank You, our God, for You putting him where he is and for that ministry in Sylacauga. God, will You bless that congregation? How I thank You for them. How You have blessed them. How You have blessed us. And we ask Your blessings yet upon us, that we may faithfully serve You in this day for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. After Lindsay leads us in a song and whoever's singing sings, Larry will come and preach for us.